And so I'm always looking for a little feedback. Some of you guys don't know me, but let me just tell you a little bit about me. It was in December 9th, on a Tuesday night, around 8 o'clock, that two fellas knocked on my door, and they shared with me the gospel like I had never heard it before. And that day I was gloriously saved. And let me tell you this, I haven't gotten over it since. Amen? And so I just appreciate what the Lord has done for me. I tell you what I've realized. When you really appreciate what the Lord's done for you, you can't get enough of serving him. Amen? You really can. And so I haven't gotten over it. I'll tell you what, I remember exactly what I was doing. I remember exactly what I did before that. I remember what I did after that. That's the greatest day of my life. Amen. By the way, let me tell you something that might shock you about this, all right? And I don't tell it to everybody. I feel kind of comfortable with you guys, and your preacher and me are really, really good friends. Me and Brother Butts, we've been good friends. We used to go out, matter of fact, about a year or so ago, drinking beers and stuff like that. No. Now, see, that's why you can't shake your head to everything, brother, amen? He's going, yeah. Mrs. Butts, like, ah. No, I'm just teasing. We've been friends for quite a while, but that day on December the 9th, on a Tuesday night around 8 o'clock, amen, when I got saved, amen, I'm going to tell you what I was doing. I was sitting in my house. Now, and part of my message is going to tell you a little bit about it, but I was sitting in my house, and I was sitting there smoking marijuana and drinking beer, and then two guys knocked on my door, and I remember I had visited the church, and my wife looked out. Well, she wasn't my wife at the time. She looked at and she said, "It's two guys. I think it's two guys from the church. They had their Bibles." And of course, I'm sitting there, brother, getting high and stuff like that. And I go, "Oh man, what did these guys want?" And so I go down. So I'm sitting down, and so I go to the door, and I'm respectful, and I wouldn't let them in because I was getting high and stuff like that. And so they gave me the gospel like I'd never heard it before. Now, I didn't know what I was supposed to do after I got saved, amen. They led me to the Lord. I went back in the house. By the way, I was watching the Los Angeles Lakers and the Washington Bullets. Now, one of the guys in our church, he was like, "Now, Pastor, now, how in the world is he going to remember all of this?" So you know what he did? He went home, brother, and he went home and he Googled it. And he looked and see who was playing December the 9th in 1990 at 8 o'clock. And he came back. He said, "You're right, preacher." He said, "I'm going to help you out a little bit on your testimony." I said, "What that?" He said, "The Lakers won that game too, amen." And so I'm like, "You really did?" He said, "Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, amen." But I went back and I didn't know what I was supposed to do. But I sat there and I finished getting high. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to get high no more, amen. But it was shortly after that the Lord laid on my heart, "This is not what you did." Let me tell you something. It was a void that was filled in my heart that day. And I'm going to tell you this before we get into the message. The reason why people do what they do is because it's an emptiness there until it gets filled. And that was December the 9th for Tuesday night. That void was filled. And after that day, God took all that stuff away from me. And he filled it with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I haven't gotten over it yet. Amen. And so I'm just excited. I told the Lord, I said, "You know what?" I said, "I used to run around in the clubs and do all of this stuff and get excited about all of that stuff and thought I was having a good time until I got saved." And I said, "You know what? If I could do all of that rip run, thought I'm having a good time for the devil, when I go to God's house, I'm going to have a good time." Amen. And so I don't know about y'all, but I enjoy being in the house of God. I enjoy being with God's people. I enjoy preaching the word of God. Amen. By the way, brother, I don't know what else I would do if I do, because I can't do anything else. Amen. I'm really serious about that. I can't do anything, amen? And so I'm always wondering, man, what would I be doing if God didn't save me? And I don't know. I have no clue. I don't know how to do anything. Only thing I was banking on is I thought I was going to be a star football player, amen? I'm really serious. By the way, I'm still working on that now in my family. Somebody's going to be an NFL star, amen? But I just want to take a moment and just want to encourage you. I know we don't have a whole lot of time, and I want you to open your Bibles with me if you would. Pray for us as we're in the city of Camden. We're at the point where we need to start getting some guys. If you know some folks and you can help us and stuff like that, we're going to start putting up some aluminum siding on the outside. Then we're going to start doing some framing and sheetrocking on the inside. And I need all the help I can. Amen. And so if y'all know somebody, if anyone here can do those sorts of things or whatever have you, please let us know. For 17 years, we've been trying to get in the heart of the city of Camden. We finally got there, and it took the city of Camden 3 years or 4 years before they even gave us our first permit. And so now we got our permit, and now we're trying to get the work done, because until we meet in that building, we have to pay taxes on that building. So we've been paying taxes since December 2012. We've been paying taxes on that building. So pray we can open up that building and get started in there and be a blessing there into the city of Camden, to those dear folks there. So open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read one verse, then I'm going to ask Brother Butts if he'll pray for me. Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to look at one verse there, verse 28. And the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Brother Butts, would you pray for me? Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, let me tell you this. You know, I always love the church. I love your preacher, man. Him meet together every so often. He keeps me abreast of what's going on with you guys and the excitement. And I'm one of his biggest fans, one of his biggest supporters and rooters and that sort of thing. But let me tell you one of the things I like that I hear that I'm really liking. You guys do a lot of fellowshipping, it seems like. Amen. Y'all eat a lot. I like that. Amen. Three or four times I've heard something about eating, amen? And so I'm big on that, amen? I like that thing, pizza with the pastor, amen? I like that, amen? I'm going to see if we could adopt something like that, because I like eating pizza, amen? Matter of fact, I'm a junk food guy, amen? So Romans chapter 8, Bob said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, when you look at that verses of scriptures, we see that that verse can go a lot of different areas and different places with that. But I was thinking about it. I was preparing for this message yesterday, and I was thinking about it that I said, you know what? It kind of reminds me when a person who may not like milk, or you may not like eggs, and you may not like some of the things there. But when you take eggs and flour and milk and sugar and all of that stuff and put it all together, you might like cake. Amen. And so here, when you take all of these things and put it together, it comes out to be good, amen? And see, I'm not a big guy when it comes to, I don't like milk, I don't like any of those sorts of things, but I do like cake, amen? And so when you take and put all those things together for good, amen? And it turns out to be something that you like, amen? I think about Joseph and how Joseph, when his brother sold him, all right, and as they sold him, God worked that out for good, amen, that he took Joseph and used that situation to feed and to comfort Israel, amen. And so we see that all things can work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, I titled this message, Affliction is Good for the Soul. Affliction is good for the soul. Turn, if you would, to Psalms 119, and we're going to be there most of the time. Psalms 119. And we're going to look at starting with verse 71. Psalms 119, look at verse 71. And here the psalmist says here, he says in Psalms 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And see here, the psalmist say here, it's good for me that I have been afflicted. Amen. And what he was saying here, he said, listen, I understand from what I've gone through that it was important that I was afflicted, amen, that I might learn. That means that, listen, affliction helps you to learn the word of God. It helps you to learn the word of God. Now, listen, let me share this with you. Remember I was telling you about me? Now, I remember how God has to get our attention sometimes. And when God loves us, he tries to get our attention. God chastens who he loves, and those he loves, he rebukes. There's nobody walking the face of this earth that God does not love. Now, he has a different love for the unbelievers as he do for the believers. Now, for the unbelievers, he loved that they get saved. He wanted to see them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. So he wanted to see them get saved. But as for us, he loves us so much that he wanted to see us to have life and have it more abundantly. Now here, for me, when I first got saved, God loved me. He wanted to see me get saved. So you know what he did? He tore my knee up. I tore my patella tendon. I remember one Sunday, I'm looking out. Now, you're talking about a guy who didn't never like church, brother. All right? I always thought that all it was in church was a bunch of hypocrites, and all they wanted was your money. And my brother and I just say, I'm never going to church. And I really meant that. But one day, I'm finishing watching a TV, and it was in the summertime, so I think the Phillies had just went off. And I was upstairs in my house, and I was drinking a scotch. It was called Bannister Scotch. Now, I had upgraded, Brother Butts, from drinking Thunderbird, amen? All right? Now, I don't know if y'all know a whole lot about, sorry, sound like he do, amen? He looked like one of the guys was on the corner with me drinking some of that Thunderbird. No, I'm just kidding, brother. But the Thunderbird, it started out being supposed to be a good one, but it became a what we call a corner wine, amen? And so we used to drink that Thunderbird on the corner, and it cost $1.99, all right? And it was really cheap. And so we used to drink that, and then as I got a little older, man, I'm going to upgrade. So I'm start drinking something better than that. I ain't going to be drinking that Thunderbird no more. By the way, if you ever Google that, my daughter-in-law Googled it, and it says in there, it was a corner wine, and it turned your lips black. It was horrible. But that's what we used to drink. It was the cheapest thing. It got to the highest the quickest, amen? And so that's what we used to do. But I'm going to upgrade. I'm going to drink. And so I started drinking Bannister Scotch. Now, Bannister Scotch was the cheapest scotch you could buy, amen? And so here I am, finished drinking this Bannister Scotch, and I'm going downstairs, and my wife, she wasn't my wife at the time, she had my food in her hand, and she said, "Do you want to eat?" And I said, "No, I'm just going to go out and play basketball." Basketball court was right across the street from my house. I lived on a little small street. At that time, it was the worst street in the city of Philadelphia. I lived on a small street, and right there was the basketball court. And so I'm going to go over there and play basketball. And so I go over there to play basketball, and I wasn't over there 15 minutes before I tore my knee up. And as I'm laying down in the house, they told me, okay, you're going to have the surgery. By the way, some of y'all probably don't matter. If any of y'all hockey guys or anything like that, you would maybe know this game. A fella by the name of Anthony Puglisi. He was the Flyers medical guy that does this. He did the surgery on my knee. And he said, "You're going to be laid up for about eight months to a year." And I'm laying in the house looking up, and I'm saying to myself, man, I've tried everything. And now somebody's cell phone went off. Let me tell y'all what we do. All right? Let me tell y'all what we do. It's okay. I don't mind if your cell phone. We don't mind. We don't have a lot of money in Camden, brother. Amen. And so I don't mind. We don't mind if your cell phone go off. But we have a rule. All right? And the rule is, if your cell phone goes off, it costs you $5, amen? And we take that $5 and we put it in for missions. That's the one way we can get some money for missions, amen? But you know what everybody does, brother? They make sure their cell phone is not on, amen? So that goes in that. Now, she's looking at me. She like, she probably ain't feeling this too much, you know? I tell my land, and I'm saying to myself, okay, God, I've tried everything in life. But one thing I've never done, I've never gone to church. And I didn't know the Holy Spirit was drawing me unto himself. I didn't know any of that. I just thought, I'm going to go to church. So I told you, I went to that church. They come by and they visit me, and I get saved. But see, God works all things together for good. Amen. He brought affliction into my life that I might learn about him. And so just because we go through some things in life, God loves you. He's doing that for our good. Amen. All things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. There's a reason. Nothing happens by accident. There's a reason why God allow things to happen in our lives. Amen. It's a reason for that. I have here, most of the time, God has to do something to get our attention. Sometimes he has to do something to get our attention. Look at me, if you would, at verses 67 of Psalms 119. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. See, the psalmist here says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know what the idea the psalmist was saying here? He said, even before God started to persecute me and bring troubles in my life, I had already, without realizing it, was taking a step back. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now here we know the psalmist here is David, King David. And one of the things that we think about when we talk about David is, remember the day where the Bible says the kings went out to battle and David did not go with them? You know, on I tell people all the time, on Sunday morning, whenever the church doors are open, we ought to be in attendance. This is where God expects for us to be on Sunday. We ought to be in the house of God as believers. Christians go to church, amen? That's what we do, amen? Now, I know sometimes we have things going on in our life and stuff like that, but affliction is good for us. Sometimes God allows it to get us to where we need to be. Here, David was supposed to go out to battle, and he didn't go. And because he didn't go, he got out of the will of God. Now, we know David was a man after God's own heart. He should have went out to battle. But because he didn't, we know what happened. He fell into sin. And so God had to help him to understand, no, David, it wasn't the sin that made you do what you did. It started before that. It started in your heart before that. That's the reason why you didn't go out to battle. It's because you had already, and sometimes we go through things, sometimes we do things, and we don't understand why we're doing it. And it takes God. Listen to me, it takes God to bring affliction our way to help us to understand. And see, David said here, he said, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn the word of God. It's good for me, because let me do something to you. When you get afflicted, you know what it does to you? It does something to the inside. It draws you to the word of God, and the word of God does something to the inside. Amen. It makes you start to see, when you get into the word of God and you start to read the word of God, it changes you. Amen. It starts to do something in the inside. Hey, listen, one of the points that I got down here, I got what I have here. It will affect your conversation. Once you start to get into the word of God, it affects your conversation. What do you mean, preacher? You mean the way I talk? No, I'm talking about your lifestyle. Hey, listen, when you get into the word of God, your lifestyle changes, amen? Conviction comes upon you. You start to believe, like, oh, this is the way I'm supposed to be living? Hey, listen, see, affliction draws you to the word of God that you can help you learn the word of God. You say, hey, listen, sometimes things are going right in our life and we just come to church. We just do what we do, man. And we going on about our business. We don't read the Bible like we should. We pick it up on Sunday morning. We put it down Sunday afternoon and we don't pick it up again the next Sunday. And we look all spiritual and stuff like that. But when problems start to occur in our life, and we know that they will, it draws you to the word of God. And when it draws you to the word of God, it changes you. The word of God ought to change you, amen? And here, it changes your lifestyle. You start to do different things. Hey, listen, I don't know about y'all, but before I got saved, Brother Butts know this, Brother Andy, some of you guys know this. Hey, listen, before I got saved, hey, sister, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little secret. Before I got saved, I didn't like white people. Don't you tell nobody that, all right? Hey, I came up in North Philadelphia, man. I mean, we were militant, man. I ain't like white people. If I saw that brother in my day, man, I got your wallet, man, amen. And you got a couple lumps inside the head, amen. Now, that big fella right there, I probably wouldn't have bothered with him, amen. No, but listen, and then I get saved, and then I start to read, and the Bible says, listen, I got to read, but to love my enemies, amen. Of course, I realized, man, it wasn't my enemies, amen. It's just a trick of the devil. And so, listen, my lifestyle started to change. Hey, listen, I went from hanging on the corners, amen, to coming to church, amen. I went from being a gangster to a Christian, amen. My lifestyle changed by reading the Word of God. God says, hey, listen, I used to tell my wife, we don't need to get married. We don't need to go. We know we love each other. We don't need no paper to tell us how much we love each other. That's a white man. But when I open up the Bible says, marriage is honorable, amen. I said, hey, we need to get married. My wife was all for that, amen. She's been trying to get me to marry her forever, amen. But it changed. So when you start to read the Word of God, hey, listen, and learn the Word of God, it changes you. Your lifestyle change, amen. Not only do your lifestyle change, what's this? Where's my point? Oh, it will affect your conduct. It affects your conduct. When you start to read the Word of God, it affects how you act and do things. It'll affect that. Once you start to learn the Word of God, it'll start to change you. The psalmist said here, he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? Because had I not been afflicted, I would not have looked for help. And he realized his help was in the Word of God. Now, we can go to the preacher, we can go to the deacons, the elders, we can do all of those sorts of things. But it's got to be the Word of God that's going to lead you and guide you and direct you. And sometimes God has to get our attention that we can start to learn the Word of God. He says, it's a good thing for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn the Word of God. But then number two, so that first one was being afflicted helps you to learn the Word of God. Number two, affliction helps you to lean on the Word of God. Look at me, if you would, to Psalms 119. Look at verse 107. And it says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. I've been afflicted very much. Quicken me. Help me come alive, O Lord, according to thy word. See, once you understand that God loves you, and that's why he allows afflictions and chastens you, because he do love you. Hey, listen, it helps you. It helps you to understand when I'm going through troubles and trials in my life, God is trying to get, hey, listen, all things work together for good, amen. God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to get our attention that we might learn the Word of God. Hey, listen, once you go through things and you learn the Word of God, then you start to lean on the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's going to lead you and guide you and to direct you and where you ought to go. Because now that you learned it, now you want to lean on it, amen? I don't know what you, but my God said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee, amen? And so you know what? I lean on that, amen? I know this, as my mother called me, this snake in the grass, my mother, that's what she calls me, amen? And I know because of me, I can't do anything. I'm a rotten, dirty, low-down snake in the grass, amen? You don't supposed to say yes, sister. You know me? No, I'm just teasing. It helps you. It helps you once you learn the word of God. Now you start to lean on the word of God. We understand that God loves us, amen? And God wants to give us life. He wants to give it more abundantly. And so when we start to go through problems, when affliction starts to come our way and things start to happen in our lives, we got to understand that, man, I got to go to the word of God. It's the word of God that I got to allow to lead and guide and direct my life. It's got to be the word of God. And so sometimes when we go through problems, we need to understand something. God is trying to do something. He's trying to do something in our life. He brought all of those problems with David's life and that sort of thing because David forgot what had went on in his life. And so you know what he did? God, and it took God to send Nathan, the prophet, to tell David, thou art a man. Affliction. Hey, listen, folks, when we see affliction, don't look at affliction like it's always a bad thing. Is what God maybe is trying to get our attention to help us to lean on him. We don't have to listen. Let me tell you something. I told my grandson the other day, and I tell him this all the time. Me and Brother Butts were talking about grandkids, and my oldest brother is 10, all right? No, 11, I'm sorry. I know how old my grandkids. I tell you, my wife ain't going to let me. Brother Butts told me he don't know how old none of his grandkids is. You ought to be ashamed. You need to get right with God, brother. Mine's is 11, going to be 12. And so he went out to his first little dance. And he was supposed to get some shoes to go with the dance. And so his mother gave the money to his dad, and for some reason he didn't get them. And so I said, well, what did I tell you? Now, he wasn't upset. All right, he's a good kid. He wasn't upset. So what did I tell you a long time ago? The Bible says don't put confidence in men. I said, sometimes things happen in your life that sometimes there's no, they don't mean that your dad let you go through, hey, you know he loves you and does all. It wasn't about, it just didn't happen for you. And so that happens sometimes. But you know what? We can't put confidence in men, amen? Our confidence has to be in the Lord, amen? Too many times, folks, we try to put confidence in men. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. I'm not a political guy. It ain't about Obama. It ain't about Donald Trump. It's about Jesus, amen? Amen. And our confidence has to be in the Lord because men will let you down. It has to be in the Lord, amen? And so he said, I was afflicted very much that I might learn. And once you learn the word of God, then you understand that I got to lean on Christ. And listen, I can't lean on Brother Butts, amen? See that? Now, see, I see yourself. See? Out of the mouth come the issues of the heart. Amen? Sister Butts knows. Listen. God will never let us down. Once you get driven to the word of God and you learn the word of God, then you'll be able to lean on the word because you know according to the scriptures, God got you. He got you, and he can't let you down. He can't. Now, God is a God of principles, all right? And it's according to your faithfulness. It's a God of principles. Can't let you down. And once we understand no matter what goes on in our life, God got you. Don't it make affliction and things like that, trouble that come your way, a lot easier to deal with? You know God got you. All I got to do, God, is just be faithful to you. And although Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, Proverbs 3:5, and trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Once we understand that affliction is good for us, once we understand that affliction helps us to lean on the word of God, no matter what goes on this way, and trials will come our way, it ain't going to matter, because we're looking this way. We're looking that way. Listen, let me tell you something. Affliction is good for the soul. Affliction is good for us, folks. Sometimes we go through things that we don't understand how we can bear that. No, God just wants us to look to him. He wants us to put our confidence in him, not in no one else. It's in him. Now, he'll put people in our path and our way to be an encouragement, to be a blessing to us, amen? But our confidence has to be in the Lord. It was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn. It helps you to learn the word of God. Affliction helps you to lean on the word of God. Look at me, if you would, to Psalms 119. And look at verse 92. And watch what the psalmist says. He says in verse 92, unless the Lord had been my delight, I should then have perished in my afflictions. If it wasn't for the word of God, my troubles and all that went on in my life, I would have perished. They would have got the best of me. But it's because of the word of God that I learned, that I leaned on, that I was able to get through. Folks, it's the word of God. It's the word of God that's going to lead us and guide us into all truth. It's the word of God. Here, David said, listen, if it wasn't for the word of God, I would then have perished in my afflictions. The afflictions would have got the best of me. They would have got the best of me. And I would have probably become a casualty. But you know what? I went to the word of God. It was the word of God that got me through. Hey, listen, when we look, hey, look, all things work together for good to them that love God. Hey, listen, believer, once we love, once we get saved and God loves us, he wants to, things going to happen in our life. But we got to stick to the book. We got to stick to the book. Listen to me. Not stick to what people think. We got to stick to the book. If it don't add up to the book, it ain't right. Are y'all listening? Stick to the book. It's the book that's going to get us through it. It's the book that's going to get us through it. The psalmist says here, being afflicted helps us to learn the word of God. Affliction helps us to lean on the word of God. Again, the psalmist said, if it wasn't for the word of God, I'd have perished in my afflictions. If it wasn't for the word of God, I wouldn't have made it. I would not have made it. By the way, let me just look into you in this way. For me, personally, if it wasn't for the word of God saving my soul December the 9th on a Tuesday night around 8 o'clock, brother, when the Lakers was playing the Washington Bullets, if it wasn't for the Lord saving my soul, I probably wouldn't be standing here right now. Let me tell you something. I came up in a gang called the Miracles, and we're one of the larger gangs in the city of Philadelphia. And just about every last one of my friends, I probably got 10 friends, maybe 15, I haven't really sat down that I could add up on my hand. Or think about that's still living. All gone. And I was telling my oldest grandson and his sister, we were sitting down, we were talking about partying and things like that. And one of the things that my grandson said to me, he said, you know what, something, they call me G-Pop. All right? Now, did I tell y'all the story why they call me G-Pop? All right, they call me, that's good. If you want to use it, you can have that, brother. It's G-Pop. What they call you? Yeah, see, I don't like that. Now, let me tell you why. They used to call me Pop-Pop, all right? And I was in the supermarket one day, and my grandkids was with me, and somebody said, Pop-Pop! And when they about 3 and 2 and 3 and 4, to me, they all sound alike. Pop-Pop! And so I turned around and looked, and it wasn't my grandkid. I'm like, oh, man, I sound like that. Every time I hear Pop-Pop, I'm thinking of my guys. I'm going to change. So I went to my wife, and I said, listen, I'm going to change my name. She said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not going to be Pop-Pop no more. I'm going to change my name. She said, well, wait a minute. At that time, my grandson was probably about 7. My granddaughter was like 4 or 5. My other ones were like 3 or 4 or something like that. And I said, I'm going to change my name. She said, well, it's too late now. You have to do that when they first come up. She said, because they won't do it. She said, they won't remember and they're going to get you. I said, no. Yes, they will. So you know what I did? I sent them all down, all 3 of them. And I said, guys, I'm changing my name. And they said, you is? I said, yes. Don't call me Pop-Pop no more. For now, don't call me G-Pop. And my granddaughter looks at the oldest one, and because she's the middle one, and there's 2 boys. And she looks at the other one. She said, G-Pop? What does that mean? And he said, I don't know, gangsta pop. I said, hey. I said, yeah, that's good, amen. So they call me G-Pop, all right? So if you want to change, you want to be, you can be gangsta pop too, amen. So gangsta pop, all right? So they call me G-Pop. Why did I even start talking about that? I don't forget. What's my point that I'm trying to make here? Any of y'all remember what the point is that I'm trying to, huh? Oh, there you go. Thank you. My man, my sister, my God bless you. All right, and so I'm talking to him about partying, and my grandson says to me, he says, man, I don't understand why people smoke. He said, that's the stupidest thing that you can do. And he started naming all the things that can happen to you. Now, I don't know if anybody's smoking here. That's good, amen. I don't know, all right? And so that's the stupid. And he started naming all the things that could happen. I said, yeah. So we started talking about partying and drinking. And I said, I don't know anybody, including my dad, not my mom. My mom didn't party like as much as my dad and my grandmother, my aunts and all. They're all dead. They all died before 70. And I said, all of that partying and drinking and all that kind of stuff, that stuff ruins your body. It kills you. All my friends, remember I tell you, we'd be on the corners, and man, we would have that Thunderbird out there, man, and we would, and you know, it's amazing, we would be out in that corner drinking that Thunderbird and stuff like that, and none of us never got a cold. We would pass the bottle from person to person, and nobody never got sick and like from a cold or nothing like that, man. He like, I just don't know what's going on. And man, we'd be around that bar like Brother Bucks was sitting over there playing, man. But we would be singing the Temptations and the Stylistics and Break Up to Make Up and Love Is Here and all, man. We thought we was doing something, amen. But God saved me around the age of 30. I'm 58 now. And took all of that stuff away from me. But my friends didn't ever stop. And all of them died before they were 60. And I'm talking about hundreds of them. Hey, listen, it was good for me that I had been afflicted. That God told me and got my attention. Because if it wasn't for the word of God, I probably would be dead. And so that's just on an unsaved level. But for us as believers, hey, listen, we comparison our afflictions. Hey, listen, we can get away from the word of God. And who knows what? We become fair game. David said, it was good for me that I had been afflicted, or I would have perished in my affliction. And then lastly, being afflicted helps you to love the word of God. Psalms 119, verse 162, if you look there with me. He said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and harbor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have helped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimony, for all my ways are before thee. Hey, listen, the psalmist says here, because of the affliction, it helped him to love the word of God. See, he learned it, he leaned on it, and now he loves it. And I don't know about you, but man, you don't get any better than the book, amen? If you want to know how life ought to be and how to not allow things to bother you, control you, you allow the word of God to work in your life. You know, 165, it's a great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall. Hey, listen, things don't bother you to the degree that it continues to consume you day after day after day after day. Because you just give it to the Lord. You know, God has taught me some things in my life that when people say things and do things to me, you know, we get mad for a moment, but it ought to. When you love the word of God, after you learned the word of God, after you leaned on the word of God, hey, listen, it ought to pass. It ought to pass. Hey, listen, remember what the Bible tells me, he was talking to spouses, but this could go for anybody when he said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. You know what that means? Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed with sorrow. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. That kind of stuff can consume you. It can consume you. Man, you get so mad and upset, and sometimes you don't even realize how upset and angry you are. By the way, in Matthew, I believe it's 18, it talks about how it's important that we forgive folks, because if not, you become a prisoner in your own hearts and mind. If you read it, that's what it's saying. You chain yourself up, and you can't let it go because you haven't forgiven people. And listen, when you love the Word of God, you're able, even if you are right, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay. It's okay to be wrong. Bible says in Romans, suffer that yourself to be defrauded. That means even when you know you're right, it's okay to be wrong. Because you know who's keeping the score? And you know what it does for you? It helps you to clear yourself from all of that other garbage and that you can continue to walk on with God. Man, you ever see people that if you touch them, if you bump on, hey, what are you doing? Hey, you're going to walk all over my, it's my foot, man. That's why. That's why they've got so much bound up stuff in them that they can't get past it because they got some stuff that they harbor in it. And listen, let me tell you something. Once you love the Word of God, all of this other stuff this way won't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. You give it and keep moving on. It'll help you. You start to harbor bitterness and all of that kind of stuff because the Bible tells us not to do that stuff. And you start to do that kind of stuff, man, you'll be miserable. And the people that you don't like, man, they happy. I just can't believe that she sat right next. You homeless in bed, you ready to go to bed. I can't believe she sat right next to me. Now that lady or whoever did went home, went to sleep, and you still went, hey, they sat right next to me. I can't believe that. And who she thinks, yeah, that person don't even know you're upset with them. And here you are, can't sleep. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I got to hurry up and go to work. I hope next Sunday she don't sit there. If she sat next to me next Sunday, I'm going to the back, amen? And listen, being afflicted helped you love the Word of God. Look at Psalms 153, and I know I got to go. Psalms 153. Look at 119, 153. Look at this. He says, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Quicken me according to thy word. Help me to be brought alive when it comes to the word of God, that I might live my life according to the book. According to the book. Hey, listen. Affliction is good for the soul. Folks, affliction is good for us. And the psalmist said this, and we close with this verse. Look at Psalms 119. Look at verse 143. It says, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. It's the word of God that's helping me. It's the word of God that's getting me through. It's the word of God, folks, that's going to deliver us. Affliction is good for the soul. When we go through things in life, folks, it's to drive us closer to the word of God. The psalmist here says, listen, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn the word of God. If it wasn't for thy affliction, I would have perished in my affliction. To lean on the word of God. And the word of God is my delight. I love it. Because it had helped me get through my life. To get through my troubles, to get through my anguish that I'm going through. Hey, listen, folks. Affliction is good for the soul. Brother, why don't you come?